And at 7:36, I think we'll bring in Tim Luke and Greg Straub, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. Are they both here?
You yes, betcha.
We are.
Yay. Tim, we're gonna have to put travel tags on you. You know, we're gonna make you look like a NASCAR car for all the places. Right. That you...
or a nice Louis Vuitton trunk.
There you go. There. You go. Well, I didn't want to say trunk because you'll never look like a trunk. Never.
No. I understand.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you know. You had mentioned 12 years you guys have been on the air.
Something like that, and yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're easily proud to say we have been on the air with you now for 10 years, 10 of those 12 years. And yeah. That's, wow, that's a privilege.
It's
a privilege.
It's probably longer. I have no idea. I'm terrible at times, but I was just guessing at that. But it's been quite a long time since we've been on the air.
Yeah.
And you guys are there. You're one of the founding shows that were on there.
You're right, because we're going to be celebrating our 9th wedding anniversary in August. So that's 9 years.
You came on in 2008.
Yeah.
2008.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go.
So that was a year before we got married. Yep. So yeah, 10.
Where did the time go? My goodness. My
and boy,
goodness.
We look fabulous.
You do look fabulous.
Still.
We have a great face for radio, I'll tell you that.
Oh, well, you know, so much has happened over those 10 years for the things that, you know, in our industry, you know, when I stop and think about...
Markets have changed dramatically, oh my goodness.
And what's happening now with, as we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, it's gone from the concrete to the cryptocurrency. You know, it's gone from hard cash to cryptocurrency in those 10 years, and I still don't understand it.
Don't worry, bubble appears to be a burst. The difficulty. I'm sure a lot of people don't know what a Brinks truck is. But the apparent ease with which you can relieve certain countries and, shall we say, accounts of the cryptocurrency is causing a small amount of consternation, let's just say.
Oh,
so there are issues.
A big amount of concern out there because they've just found that it's not as secure as they've been touting it.
No
so
kidding. I just the right. The level of no kidding is...
Exactly.
I am amazed. We're entering into a phase, and this is... Greg has always been interested in fakes, so that's fascinating. But we
thank you for that article, by the way. I am fascinated by the one story that's in there. We'll talk about it in a second. Go ahead,
exactly.
Finish your point.
The point is that now with technology, and people are just so bloody naive, and that's fine. You know, it's all good. It's everything that's... I don't want to say we'll hold hands, but you know, these technologies come along and 98% are just using it like, oh, hey, good, I can see pictures of my kids. But 2% are like, whoa, cool.
You know, I remember the very first time that we were selling things on the internet when we had our business that we sold through eBay. And we have actually been with eBay since it became eBay. But prior to that, it was named something else. And somebody came to Tim one day when he was working at Christie's and said, "Have you heard about this thing called eBay?"
Yeah.
And so we checked it out, and we ended up having a business for close to 10 years on eBay, and then. They had this thing called PayPal, which was probably, this was pre-cryptocurrency. And people were just up in arms about, what, you're going to send money over the, you're going to send money over the internet? You're going to pay for this at eBay with it, you're sending money to PayPal? What is PayPal?
Yeah, PayPal still owes me money.
Yeah.
No, but again,
it's gone from that to where we are now. So much has changed over the years, and
we'll continue because that's the constant. The constant is change,
right? But how
is it going to evolve based on all of these things that they plan to make it very secure, but then things change and evolve and people find ways. The one constant I will say is
when we first started on the radio show, I do remember we had several conversations about online auctions. Are they the way of the future? What's going to happen to live auctions and people who were working at auction companies? Oh my God, we're going to be out of a job. And we kept saying, no, you're not going to be out of a job. People are still going to be going to auction houses. And the other thing was that I was completely wrong about, and which I will admit, okay, yes, Tim, you can go ahead, say, repeat that.
Repeat that?
What? Yes, I was wrong. And that is selling art online. I said, no way. No way. You cannot sell 100,000, you know, like a very valuable piece of art online without actually seeing it and touching it. And you know, Jill and I, we're kind of on the same page on this. I've turned the page somewhat. Because we all know that very expensive pieces of art have sold online, and they continue to escalate selling online. So I will say, yes, I was wrong about that. But over the years, as things have changed in selling online, I think what's happened is as the markets have changed and we've now become an instantaneous marketplace as far as buying and selling, and the information that we're sharing out there with what's for sale, what has sold, how much things are worth, it's kind of a double-edged sword to me, because and we've talked about this over the past 10 years, how when somebody sees something that sells for $10 million and they go to their attic and they have, oh, well, I have the same thing in my attic, and they are fully expecting that they're going to make $10 million on their item.
Well, Greg, so let me interject, because the problem is, with all of this, it's wonderful, but it has absolutely manufactured a generation of idiots. So with all due deference,
I disagree with that. I don't think I disagree with that at all.
So what we have to continue to do, just bluntly, so that the whole system functions, is to explain. And this is the first thing that goes when you put your whatever it is online. You lose the bits and pieces that go into something, and you absolutely remove one party's ability to think something through. So that's great as long as you don't need to think anything through.
Yes, and it's all handed to you.
Right.
But the other side of that is that it has increased the amount of information that is out there so that you can do some comparative if you know what to do and what you're looking for. However, where I would agree with you, Jill, is that there are people that say, oh, no, it has to be this, this, and this, because this is what I found on the internet, and they don't know anything beyond that. It's the people that take it beyond that and do more, diving deep into, oh, this is what I need to look for, this is what is important, and understanding what the words, if it says the signature is, it's attributed to the artist, what does that mean? Does it mean that I came across something yesterday and it was an Andy Warhol piece, but if you read through the whole description, it said, well, we think it's an Andy Warhol, but they didn't actually say that.
Yeah, exactly.
If you didn't know what the words meant, you would have thought, oh, I'm buying an Andy Warhol piece that's original, but they're not even sure, but they're using words attributed and this and that. And if that's the difference, and that's where people need to really educate themselves on what it is they're buying and in what asset class, those little words are used.
And then the problem with educating yourself is that, and this I come up against all the time, in a lot of cases, once it becomes a little more specific and you're up against actual experts, since you don't know what you're supposed to be asking, you're moving forward without guidance at a massive disadvantage.
2 minute warning. Right. 2 minute warning.
Right. And it's the disadvantage aspect that that we strive to assist with and try to.
I totally agree. And it's the whole thing about people think that they know more than the experts sometimes, because they say, well, I saw this and I saw that, and their sources might not be the most reliable. And that's
this is where the double-edged sword to me comes in, and that is, although on one hand, the idea of taking a virtual tour of the Louvre might be appealing to somebody who's never going to set foot in France. That's great. So that they get a chance to see some of the great works of art, but they won't understand anything from that. But they'll enjoy the beauty and the interest, and it might pique their interest to the point where maybe, you know what, I should really try this. That's one side. And the other side is, it's spawned an entire industry of people who you can pick up the phone and call and say, can you come over and look at this? And I need some help in trying to interpret it. I need some help trying to figure out what to do with grandma's china, and before they do anything. So there's a give and take there, and that's where the double-edged sword of the internet has come in over the past 10 years that we've been on the show, and that is that we can go into your house and explain, but how did you see this? Well, I saw it on the Antique Roadshow, and I thought, gee, I really need to do more. Those are the people we applaud. It's the people who just think, oh, okay, I know this is valuable because I saw it on the internet. Those are the people that have become the idiots and that we have discovered.
Well, they take it at face value.
Right, and face value is a problem, as is running out of time.
As is time.
So
TikTok.
I'll talk to you next week. Thank you very much, both.
Happy you guys fourth. Have a great week.
And you, happy fourth, as you say.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye, guys. Bye. Tim Gregg, listen to me. Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys of Rick and Frack of Nick and Knack, with Appraise This here on Robin Hood Radio.